Amen. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Better every week. Is this on? Yes, it is. I can hear that now. Okay. Awesome. Awesome. I hope everyone is well this morning. I've had a very busy week, and God was speaking to me about the message even this morning, which was difficult for me because I'm very much a planner, and I like to know what I'm going to say before I go in. But sometimes you got to cooperate and rely more on the Spirit than your plans, right? So, for those of you who don't know me, my name is Tim. I've been a part of Antioch Orlando here for 5 years, so that means I'm OG, but not quite, but not really, really OG, because it's been around for like 6 or 7. If you don't know what that means, it means original and grateful. And I help lead the prayer. It doesn't really mean that. You can ask somebody else. I've been helping lead the prayer and the prophetic teams here for the last few years, and I'm so excited for what God has for us in store this coming year. He's got so many great things that he wants to do. And last week, John introduced our banner word for the year, which is more of Jesus. Who wants more Jesus? I love it. I felt the hunger in the room. I'm like, oh, I get to preach to a hungry room this morning. This is such a gift to me. And again, God has lots in store for us as a church over this coming year, and we want all that he has for us. Am I right? And so he's inviting us first and foremost into having more of himself. And secondly, he's inviting us into greater partnership with him in this city and in the nations, out of the place of intimacy, not out of the place of just serving the nations, right? And so I'm just going to jump right in, guys. There's a lot that I want to share. My heart's been full all week, and I kind of had to decide. So I'm still deciding what I'm going to speak on. I could take it a number of directions, but Holy Spirit, I just pray that you speak what you want to speak to the people, that it would be powerful, and that it would help set them free and encourage them. In the name of Jesus. So my message is, before God sends us, he has to prepare us, right? And there are things that God has to first do inside of us before he can do them through us, right? And if we want him to move powerfully through us, we have to let him move powerfully in us first. And as many of you know, this last season, not everybody in the room, but lots of people in the room, they've been facing trials and challenges that they can't overcome on their own, right? And God was doing that intentionally. And so if we know the plan of God and the purpose of God behind some of the things that we run into, we'll actually be able to endure them with hope and with strength, right? And so as God is preparing us to be messengers to our city and messengers to the nations of the earth, he wants us to glean from the word how he prepares messengers, because he has a very specific plan about how he arranges and coordinates our lives so that he can send us. And so I thought it would be helpful to look at the life of somebody that God used powerfully as a messenger that prepared the way for more of Jesus. And so we're looking this morning at the life of John the Baptist. And a lot of us kind of view John the Baptist when we read him. We kind of view him in this kind of, he's kind of weird. He's kind of unrelatable. He's kind of esoteric. He's kind of out there. His message is one of fire and brimstone. And I just want to help clarify for us, this is not actually accurate. That's not John's message at all. And John's message offered incredible hope. John was a gospel preacher. And in order to actually accurately understand John's message, we have to know a little bit about the context that John was preaching into. And so I've been spending the week in the Word just digging into the message of John, the context of John, and I found so much hope and so much comfort from it in my own life. And so the context that John was preaching into was that Israel had actually been under the severe discipline of the Lord for the last 800 years. And for the previous 400 years, God had been silent, and he hadn't spoken by priests to Israel, and he hadn't spoken by prophet to Israel. And this is because they were under the discipline of the Lord for their sin. And so if you can imagine, from not hearing from God for 400 years, the kind of tensions and the kind of struggles that would create internally, right? And so they were wondering in their hearts, because they hadn't heard from God for 400 years, they were wondering in their hearts, has God left us? Does he care about us anymore? Is he going to use us anymore? Does he see our plight? Does he see our pain? Or has he just left us up to ourselves and up to our own devices, right? So they were harassed and they were confused about the way that, about who God wanted to be for them because their life was so difficult. And so we're going to look at Isaiah 40, verse 27, just to get a context of where was John preaching into. So again, they hadn't heard from God for 400 years, and Israel was thinking, they were saying in their hearts, their internal belief was that my way is hidden from God and my right is disregarded by my God. And so this is the context that John steps into. This is the context that he begins preaching into. So Israel thinks that God has forgotten about them and doesn't care about the difficult things that they're going through. And so we're gonna look at what John actually said, what his response to this message was, what this response to the hearts of the people of Israel was. So we're gonna go to Isaiah 40, 1-5. And just so you have a little bit of an idea, Isaiah 40 is John's message. The whole thing is his message. And so you imagine they hadn't heard from God for 400 years. They were harassed internally, and John shows up and he says, "Comfort, comfort, my people. Says your God, speak tenderly to Jerusalem, or you guys, and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, and that she has received double from the Lord's hand for all of her sins." And we're going to stop. We're going to pause there for a moment. And so a little bit more deeper into the context is that Israel actually wasn't told, they weren't externally delivered from trouble at this point. So if you know, after they crucified Jesus, about 40 years later, that Jerusalem actually fell and Israel was scattered all over the earth until 1947. I think it's 1947. So Israel was without a home for 1950-ish years after Jesus was crucified. All right? And so John isn't saying, hey, that you're, he's not saying the difficult circumstances around you have ended. The warfare inside of you is going to end. And so the warfare that John is speaking into is actually wrestling with the truth of how God relates to us in the middle of sin and in the middle of difficult circumstances. Does God love me even though I still struggle with this? Is he still committed to me after all this time? Is my life over? Is it too late for him to use me? And these are the internal questions that we wonder when we go through difficult circumstances, when God brings us through things that we have to rely on him for. And Jesus dealt a death blow to all these accusations on the cross. That's what he meant by your warfare is ended. Now, this is speaking to a larger context. There will be one day when there actually is no more external warfare either. But he was speaking primarily to the internal deliverance of his people, not the external deliverance. The second thing that he brought up is that your iniquity is pardoned. You've received back double from God for all of your sins. And so Israel's sin was forgiven, and God wanted to have favor on them. And if you remember that when Jesus came onto the scene, he actually left off part of a message. He said, it's the year of the Lord's favor. It's not the year of the Lord's wrath. It's the year of the Lord's favor. He wants to have favor on you after all of this time. After the 800 years of discipline, he wants to have favor on you. He wants to bless you, and he wants to use you in a powerful way. And so John was preaching a very radical grace message in his time. You go to the next part. A voice cries. So this, you guys have read this in the New Testament and every gospel. It talks about this. In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. So if you guys read the New Testament, it actually says there's actually there's a comma after wilderness. And John says, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, comma, prepare the way of the Lord. But when you read it in this context, it's completely different. It says, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And so, again, Israel's time of discipline, God referred to as a wilderness because it was difficult, and he was taking them back through the internal deliverance that they needed. And God was saying to them, in your pain and your difficulty, turn to me and I will come to you today. Don't wait for your circumstances to get better before you come to me. You can have joy. You can have deliverance in my presence today. And so this is the good news this is pretty much the good news of his whole message. But he says, you don't have to wait for deliverance. You don't have to wait for joy. In the middle of your difficult circumstances, lift me up, prepare a way for me. and I'll come and I'll visit you. Who His grace is for today. And God wants us to be confident in our relationship with Him, that He receives us, that He gives us joy, that He restores our purpose the moment that we repent and turn back to Him. In the next part, He says, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. He says, prophetic language is a little bit funny. What He's saying here is the things that you're running to that leave you empty and dry, turn away from them and I'll fill you up. I remember John had a dream, John Curiali, not John the Baptist, John Curiali, he had a dream a few years ago. I know there's like three Johns that we're preaching from today. It's going to be interesting. Try to stay with me. But he had a dream that he was in a 7-Eleven and he had a little cup of coffee. And as he was filling up the cup of coffee, it burned his hand and he dropped it. And he heard a voice whisper to him to look behind him. And he looked behind him and there were gallons and gallons and gallons of fresh water. All right, and so what God was saying to him through that dream was, don't rely on your own strength. If you rely on me for strength, I'll fill you up, I'll use you, and I'll be a river flowing through you. And so the next part, verse 5, I'll probably just read this through and then we'll go back and touch on these verses. So I think this is actually the last verse. So every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill will be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And so we're going to go to every valley will be lifted up and every mountain will be made low. Now, because of prophetic language, there's a couple different ways that we can interpret this passage. The first way we interpret it is that God will do the things that we think are impossible. He'll overcome the obstacles that we think are impossible as we partner with Him, and He'll give fresh hope to the hopeless. That's one way to interpret it. The other way to interpret it is that God will humble those that are proud and He'll lift up those that are humble. And so if you haven't been going through difficulty in the last season, it's okay. It's good. It's good that you're not going through that. If you've been walking in obedience, if you've been walking in righteousness, John says, continue to do so. Continue to do so because the time's coming when God's going to lift you up and use you as a voice. The sixth thing that I want to touch on, I love lists. Lists help me. So the sixth thing I want to touch on is he says, the uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places shall become a plain. And he's saying the things that are out of alignment with your life, which are causing you so much pain, the sin, the difficulty, the strife, the internal stuff that you're dealing with, there's coming a deliverer who's going to make all the things smooth. There's coming a deliverer who's going to give you victory, who's going to give you joy, and is going to make those places easy to traverse for you by the power of the Spirit. So the seventh thing that he brings up, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. He's saying God is coming, and he wants to use you to bring him glory among the nations. And so that's what he's speaking to us, that he's coming, and he wants to use us in a powerful way among the nations. And the way we can sum up John's whole message is that if you find yourself in a hard situation, whether by your own sin or whether by God's leadership, that God is coming to deliver you and use you for a glorious purpose. And he wants to have radical grace on those that need radical grace, and he wants to humble those that are proud and relying on themselves. So that was the message that John was speaking. It was one of incredible hope that God isn't done with you. He wants to use you in powerful ways, no matter where you find yourself on the spectrum. And so again, I believe that in this season he's preparing to use us powerfully, but we need to know how he prepares us. We need to know the process that he brings us through in order to prepare us. And if we know that God has a purpose behind the pain that he brings us through, it'll give us confidence, it'll give us wisdom, and it'll give us hope as we endure the difficult things he's bringing us through. So how does God make his messengers? The first thing that he does is he brings us to a difficult circumstance. That's not the news we want to hear, right? We want the Christian life to be easy. We want it to be free of difficulty. And what we see modeled in the life of Jesus, what we see modeled in the people of the Bible, is that this isn't necessarily the way that God prefers to lead us, right? And so God brings us to a difficult circumstance. Number one, if you're taking notes, this is a good thing to write down. God brings us to a difficult circumstance that you can't overcome by yourself. You can't overcome it by your own strength. And that's what he's been doing in this last season with us. And so he brought John into the wilderness, and he brought Jesus into the wilderness. And what I want to show us about Jesus is that as Jesus engaged with the Word, as he fought with the Word in the wilderness, as he denied his flesh, as he obeyed God, that he returned from the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit. And so you can view the difficult things that you go through as God's actually anointing you in those things if you'll press in and say yes. The second thing he does to create a messenger is that we learn to wrestle with him and search out his answers in his word. This is how his message gets inside of us. So what God does in order to prepare a messenger is he forces us to look, he confronts our shallow belief system about himself, right? And so we wrestle with God. We search out his answers in the word. His word gets inside of us because God knows that in pain, that pain has to be resolved. Pain will be resolved in one way or another. We can either temporarily resolve it with the comforts of the world, or we can turn to the word of God. But pain has to get resolved. It has to get healed. It has to get touched. And so he'll cause minor disturbances. He'll cause some difficult things to come our way so that we find him in the word, so that we actually get delivered in the word through him. And in this process, the third thing that he does is that this is actually our response. We have to realign with the word. And then faith and hope enters our hearts. And so this is the first major step of breakthrough. So he delivers us from hopelessness and despair first through his word, so that we have a message for those who are going through the same things, right? The fourth way that we go about becoming messengers is that we partner with the promises of God by believing and obeying them with perseverance. And so this is a really, really important step, because as we partner with God, as we choose to obey God, he builds the character in order to sustain the thing that we need the breakthrough for. Right? If we don't obey God, if we don't press into him in this season, then we won't actually, I won't say we're not going to receive the promise, but the promise will either be delayed, or we won't have a message. We're not going to have the character to sustain the promise that he wants to give us. And what this does is the promise will actually hurt us if he doesn't build us up inside first. And so if we obey with him, if we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, we get the breakthrough. Now, the breakthrough has to happen internally first. And I want to bring us back a little bit more to the context that Israel was in at the time that Jesus came. And so Israel was looking for an external deliverer, right? They were looking for a king who was going to come and deliver them from all of the problems in their lives. And when Jesus came and he delivered them internally, they were offended. Now, this is very, very important. So we find ourselves in the same situation, right? We want God to break through in our circumstances, but God says, I want you to be the breakthrough for other people in your circumstances. It's different, right? And so if we grab a hold of this, we're not going to be seeking to get out. We'll be seeking God's purpose in the middle of our circumstances. And we become deliverance for others. But if we partner with God, if we follow his way of doing things in difficult circumstances, then when the breakthrough comes, not only do we have the breakthrough and the promise, but we actually have the humility to sustain the promise, right? We have the meekness to sustain the promise. We know that it wasn't just us getting us through the promise. We know that it was him. And so our message becomes, he got me through it, he can get you through it. That's what the spirit of prophecy is that John refers to in Revelation. He said the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And so what Jesus did in me, he will do in you if you respond the same way, right? And so this is important because, again, we are completely unable in ourselves to deliver people. It's all Jesus. Jesus is the one that delivers people. And this was the message that John was preaching. And so God had a message of comfort for the people that were going through hard times. So he anointed a messenger to go through hard times who found breakthrough and hope in hard times, right? And so now what happens is that if we choose to cooperate with God in the process, that we get a message, we get a testimony that's for somebody else, that will actually bring them deliverance. We can point to Jesus. We can say, Jesus can deliver you. He delivered me. I know all the pitfalls. I know how to navigate this struggle. I know how to get out of this thing. And I know who he's been for me, and it's possible for you too. And so what happens when we allow God into the process, now this is all, it's a lot here, but it's okay. We're going to have a longer ministry time. It's going to be glorious, as normal. But if we allow God to deliver us in the process and we cooperate with him, again, we get an anointing for that very thing we've been delivered from. But if we don't cooperate with him in the process, if we turn to other comforts, if we check out in the process, God will still send us, but we won't be a voice of deliverance. We'll be a voice, we'll be an echo, echoing somebody else's words, right? And so we want to be voices of deliverance. That's what God's saying to us. We want to be voices that deliver, not voices that echo. And deliverance only comes from personal encounter with God. And let me see here. Where are we? Okay, again, it's difficult to endure pain when you don't see the point. But if you see that God is actually preparing something glorious inside of you to deliver to the world, to deliver the world, then it's easier to obey. It's easier to endure the pain and the trials. And the message that we get inside of the trial, the message that we get in the middle of the difficult circumstance is that God is better. So I know it's a simple message, but the message that we get in the midst of the break, the message that we get in the difficulty is that God is better, right? That God is able to deliver, that God wants to deliver, that he's greater than that, he can deliver. But if we don't cooperate with him, we have nothing to give other people. And that's not his heart for us. His heart is that we would be a church that presses in the hard times so that every single person here can be a voice of deliverance for the nations. And so how do we respond? What can we learn from John's word? Let me have the band come up now. And short message. There's a lot here. It's dense, so take the time to unpack it in the secret place. But what can we learn from John in order to prepare our lives to be used by God in a greater way? The first thing that we need is an upgraded view of God. And I didn't know this either until I really dug in this week. John 1 and Isaiah 40 are parallel messages. They go together. And so we need an upgraded view of God. And so John encountered God to be greater. He encountered God to be more powerful, more satisfying in the wilderness. And this was the message that he brought to people. That was the message of hope, is that even though your circumstances are difficult, even though things aren't going your way, that God is greater and he's able to give you peace and joy in the middle of your circumstances, not just when you get out. You don't have to wait. You can get God today. You can get peace today. You can get joy today. So I'm going to read a little bit out of Isaiah 40. And I want to note on a couple things here. I'm going to go back to verse 6. Do you have verse 6 up there? If not, it's okay. So in the warfare, in the struggle, in the difficulties that we go through, in the difficult things that God brings us into, again, we grapple and we wrestle with this question: is God's word really true? Is it really that good? Is he really that good? And his word begins to search us. What do I really believe about God? And the message that John brought for these people, in the midst of wondering how God felt about them, he says, "What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass." It's going to get encouraging here in a second. "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever." And so John is saying, hey, in the midst of your difficulty, in the midst of the hard circumstances, turn to the word of God. Put your faith in the word of God, because it's true. It's true. He is deliverer. He is healer. He is rescuer. He is more powerful. He is greater. And his word is true. You don't need to wonder how God feels about you in the midst of weakness and brokenness. You don't need to wonder if he's going to be good to you. You don't need to wonder if he still has a future for you. He says the word of God is true and it stands forever. Put your faith, put your trust in the word of God. Even though circumstances change, even though things go up and down, the word of God stands forever. And then he goes on to talk about the greatness of God. We'll go to verse 9 here. He says, go up to a mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. His reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. Who has measured the water in the hollows of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span, enclosed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the spirit of the Lord, or what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult, and who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Lebanon will not suffice for fuel, nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are accounted by him as less than nothing in emptiness. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness can you compare him? An idol. A craftsman casts it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and casts it for silver chains. He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood that will not rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth when he blows on them and they wither, and the tempest carries them off like stubble. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes and see who created these, who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. Let me go on to my Bible here. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And we're going to go to John 1 as well. And John intentionally paints the same picture of God that Isaiah did. He's talking about this God that's coming incarnate, this God in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same God that we read about in Isaiah 40, he's the same God. He was in the beginning with God. I'm talking about Jesus here. All things were made through him, and without him was nothing made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I'm going to pause there for a second. And this is what we need to hear this morning, is that God needs to put light inside of you that's going to overcome the darkness around you. That's what he's doing inside of you this morning. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world was made through him, but the world did not know him. He came to his own people didn't receive him. He knows rejection, but to all who did receive him, he knows pain. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And this light that he puts inside of us that overcomes the darkness, that is the hope of glory. Christ inside of you is the hope of glory. It's not better circumstances or the hope of glory. It's Christ inside of you in the midst of difficult circumstances. That's the hope of glory, not only for yourself, it's the hope of glory for those around you. So we need an upgraded view of God. We need to see him rightly for how mighty he is and how much more enjoyable he is than sin and compromise. His love, the message is, his love and his grace are greater than our sin. He's stronger than anything or anyone, any circumstance. He understands what we're going through. And he's passionate about delivering us and glorifying his name in us. And to the measure of our joy in God, others will want him. Now, the second way that we respond, the second way that we prepare, is we choose to surrender, just like John did, just like Jesus did. We choose to surrender the things that we rely on for strength, and we ask God to be our strength. And so John chose to live without certain comforts so that he could actually receive a message of comfort from God and become comfort for others, right? You read about that in 2 Corinthians 1, is that God brings us through many afflictions so that we would be a voice of comfort and healing to other people. The third thing that we do is we give ourselves, like John did, we give ourselves like Jesus did, to understanding and obeying the word. And then the fourth way that we respond is we tell others who Jesus has been for us. We don't want to tell other people how we've gotten ourselves out of situations that offers them no hope. Because the things that they're going through, people are going through really difficult things. The things they're going through, they need to know that there's a God who's greater, who's more loving, who's stronger, who's more gracious, and who wants to set them free and is able to set them free, not us. And so we're going to take some time to respond and have some extended ministry time here. And I felt like the first way that we need to respond is I think there's people that are offended because God hasn't delivered them externally from their circumstances. And we need to thank God. Again, people are going through very difficult things. I'm not downplaying that. I don't want to make light of those things. But if we're offended because God hasn't delivered us externally, let's thank him that he's doing a greater work inside of us so that we can become a voice of hope for other people. And the second group of people I felt like he was talking to are those who have been self-reliant, those who have been relying on themselves, relying on their own strategies, relying on their own strength in order to get them through the difficult circumstance they're going to. And all what God wants to say to those people is there's grace. There's abundant grace. There's abundant mercy for you. And I still, even today, if you'll turn, you can have joy. Even today, if you turn, I'll make you a voice in this city and in the nations. And the third group I felt like he was telling me to speak to are those who maybe they're stuck in sin. Maybe you've been battling against the same pattern for weeks, months, years, and you're worried, hey, has this disqualified me from being used by God? And God's answer to that would be no, it hasn't disqualified you from being used by him. There's grace and deliverance available for you today, and you don't have to wait until you get out of the difficult circumstance to receive God's love, to receive his mercy, and to receive his joy. And so, Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it always brings such hope. There's such clarity in your word, God. Thank you that you are reliable. Thank you that you never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thank you that your grace is abundant for us as your people. And God, whatever category we find ourselves in, we pray that you would help us and strengthen us to turn to you, strengthen us to be able to find our strength in you. God, I pray that you would release hope into the areas where people don't feel hope. God, I pray that those difficult circumstances that they're going through that seem too big for themselves, I pray that you deposit faith, God, that you want to deliver, that you're able to deliver. And not only that, but you're with them in the deliverance, God. You're with them right now in the deliverance process. God, we just pray that you would help us to see more of your beauty, more of your goodness, more of your intentionality in our lives. God, help us to replace the things that we rely on for comfort and strength with your very presence, with your very word. Pray that it would birth something inside of us that would be of value to those that you send us to. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's respond.